Welcome to the 12 cast, the official podcast of the 12 point. To learn more, visit at the 12 point on Instagram. And now, let the show begin.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to The Deucecast, presented by The Deuce Point. My name is Rain, a member here at TDP, and I'm so excited to welcome you back for another episode of Is It a Hot Take?, where we look at some of the amazing songs of Eurovision 2024. And today, I have four more songs to look at, and I'm super excited to hear them all. Today, we're going to be starting with Armenia, with the song Jaco by Lavaniva. Then we're going to listen to Georgia, who have sent Fighter by Nutsa. Then we're going to move to Azerbaijan, who have sent Fari and Ilkan Dovlatov with the song Uzunle Apar. And lastly, we're going to end with Australia, who have sent Electric Fields with One Mikali or One Blood. So without further ado, let's jump right into it. So that was a sample from the song Jaco by Lavaniva, who will be representing Armenia in Eurovision 2024. And just before I start talking about the songs today, I would like to also preface that the running orders have also now been revealed. These are the actual running order, so how the songs are going to compete in May. So that might change my opinion a little bit, but of course, with all the other reviews, there will be one final review closer to the end of, or closer to the beginning of the semifinals, where I go through and I analyze my 10 qualifiers, so stay tuned for that. But back to Armenia, and I'm super excited that they chose Lavaniva, because they are known for creating super interactive. I don't know if like interactive is a good word, but it's like it's a very fun song, almost. Like, it's like very interactive, like you feel like you're going like at the party. Although the lyricism for Jaco is very short, it's only about like two paragraphs, actually. Like, not two paragraphs, two like blocks. I don't know. I'm forgetting my songwriting terminology right now, but it's only two sections of writing. So it's actually a very it's a very nuanced song as well. Like the main artist for, or like the main singer, Jacqueline, has said that Jaco is going to be a song about gender equality and feminism, and I think it's done like in a way that like both combines the fun and also combines a serious topic as well. Like, if we're looking at the lyrics just in English, they tell me, Jaco, be humble, don't talk too much, don't stay too quiet, wear this, open this, close that, behave like a girl. So like, these are like, it's not much of the song, but it's also a very important part of the song. I suppose that Jaco is like a short form, or like maybe like a nickname for the singer, because her name is Jacqueline. So I suppose that it could be based on that. So it could be about her personal experience as well. So I think that's like a very interesting connection as well. I always like to look at the lyrical components in depth. I think that I think that it's important to always try and convey some important message in whatever you're trying to do. And I think that even if it is a very party song, songs like that we've explored this year from Croatia, being about like the outward movement of young people to other countries due to more opportunities, or for Netherlands, like the idea of grief and finding yourself in amidst grief in the world. Now we have Jackal, which is a song that inherently wouldn't seem like something that conveys a big global issue, but it does. And I think the way that artists this year have managed to combine both serious topics into songs that are very like dance friendly or very like party friendly is a very difficult thing to do, and it's like definitely not something that can be done simply. I think that while this song doesn't have many lyrics, it's just that part, and then there's like a lot of la la las. Then there's come and join me, no matter what they say, we'll forget about that time again, come on, come on, come on, my dear, get up and dance, and then more la la las. So yeah, that's pretty much all the lyrics of the song. So it's a pretty short song, but it's also interesting to see how big of a message can be done in such a short amount of time as well. I think that Armenia has a really good song on its hands as well. So I think that they shouldn't be worried too much in terms of like qualification based on the song. I think that just looking at it from potential staging and potential standing out as well, the song is a lot of like the repetitive chorus as well, like the la la la's. So I don't know if people are going to enjoy that. People are going to find that a little bit more not in their taste. It's again really dependent on what people are like interested in hearing. I think that Armenia got a pretty good running order. They're actually right in the middle. They're right between Denmark and Latvia. So they have like a power ballad before them and a sad ballad after them. So I think it's good that they were placed in such a position, because in between two sadder songs, they have something that's a little bit more like upbeat and can get everyone happy and on the and ready to like be like content and party. And so yeah, I think that that was done in a very specialized manner. I know a lot of people complain about the running orders, myself included, but I think they're very important because they do know how to pair songs together in order to make the best possible show. Even if sometimes the songs that we want end up in really bad positions, it is inevitable that that does happen because we can't like please everyone. But to the most extent, songs are generally they're placed there for a specific reason, whether it's to open the show in a really strong manner, to separate a lot of ballads, or to separate a lot of pop songs with a different type of genre, so that way it's not just the same thing over and over again. Or maybe something to close out the show that's going to be very powerful, or very something that people are going to enjoy at the end. There's a lot of considerations to take in. So I think that Armenia being placed right in between Denmark and Latvia was an appropriate choice, because it was a good balance, because you had Austria, which is like hyper pop. Then you have Denmark, which is like a power ballad. Then you have Armenia, which is more of like an ethnic pop, like very upbeat song. Then you have Latvia, which is a sad song. Then you have San Marino, which is like a rock song, like a sad rock song. And then you have Georgia, which is like more of an upbeat song again. So yeah, it does tend to balance itself out very nicely. For every pop song, there's going to be like another more like mellow song, and so on and so on. So I think that complements each other very nicely, and I think that's going to serve to Armenia's advantage in this time. I think that personally, if I had to look at it in terms of qualifying, I think that it would qualify. I think it's going to qualify on the lower end, maybe around 8 to 10, so it is a bit borderline, but I do think in the final it might get a little bit more jury points and then end in the top 20. I think it will end a little bit lower than Brunette, not because the song is any worse. In fact, I enjoy it like just as much as I enjoyed Future Lover last year. But I think that it's just a little bit more competitive this year, and I think that there's going to be a lot of songs that are going to be sharing points, and I think that Armenia is going to share points with a few songs, and that could end up being a little bit more detrimental. Yeah, but I think that this song has massive potential. I'm super excited to see the stage, yeah, because the music video made this, like, staging concept so broad. Like, it could be, both members of La Deniva could be going around, like, this, like, town, and, like, in that's created on the Eurovision stage, and, like, it could all be set up in a way that's following kind of, like, a story, as it's similar to the music video. Like, I think that, as Eurovision goes on, the possibilities for staging are just going to get even more powerful. And I think that this is going to be super exciting to watch, because as we see more innovative music videos, we're also going to be super innovative staging as well. So yeah, I'm super looking forward to Jaco's staging. And of course, big congratulations to La Deniva from Armenia. And now it is time to move on to Georgia, who have sent Nutsa with the song Firefighter. So that was a sample from Georgia's representative for Eurovision 2024, Nutsa, with her song Firefighter. And oftentimes I get it very confused because there was another song called Fighter for Luxembourg this year. So I often get it confused, who's who. But I think that this song is definitely one of Georgia's best, and I think Georgia will be finally singing in the grand final after I don't know how long. I think it's almost been a decade now. I think the last time they qualified was with Midnight Gold all the way back in 2016. Yeah, because then there was Keep the Faith, there was For You, there was Keep on Going, there was then You in 2021, there was Lock Me In from 2022, and then of course the biggest robbery in Echo 2023. I would argue both 2017 and 2023 deserved it, because they both finished in very high places, and I think that if there was juries last year, I think we would have seen Iru in the final, but that's my thoughts on that. But yeah, I think that Georgia now has a really strong chance to make the final this year. The song is absolutely amazing. I think it's definitely like one of the best produced, best sounding. It just all works together so well. I think this is the best of the two fighters by far, but I think the song has incredible potential. And if anyone's ever watched American Idol, you might recognize Nutsa from competing on the show, as well as being on a few other international TV shows. But yeah, I think that Nutsa has a really strong song with, although it's in English, which is a bit sad, because I was looking forward to like a song in Georgian. I think that the song is definitely going to appeal to a large group of people. I know people right now are a little bit conflicted on whether or not they like this song, whether or not it's like appeals to them. But personally, I think that this song has massive televote appeal and jury appeal. I think Nutsa's voice is absolutely amazing, and I think that's going to be characteristics that's going to definitely improve her chances of going forward, especially with the juries. But I also think that the dancing, the potential staging combinations, everything put together is definitely going to help Nutsa qualify to the final and do really well in that final. The lyrics are a little bit on the safer side. Like, you have like I really like that bridge, though. That's like, yeah, you know that I'll be there. And again, I can't sing, but and then I'm like, I'm running through these ashes like a phoenix, yeah. Like, I love that part. It's a really nice bridge between the first part and the chorus itself. The chorus is kind of like, I don't know if that's the chorus. Is that the chorus? I don't know. But it's a nice transition piece, and then you have this amazing beat drop. You know, I'm like a sucker for good beat drops, though. Like, we had a really good like dance break in Cyprus. There was, and then yeah, we have one now for Georgia. So yeah, extra points for that. Maybe an extra deuce point for that. But yeah, I think my hot take of the day. Actually, you know, I might save that for a little bit later, but I think that Georgia definitely has an incredible song this year. It's in my top 10. It's on my playlist. I'm playing it every single day now. But yeah, definitely a very high potential song. Yeah, it's got everything that a good Eurovision song should have. And honestly, now it's just about like making the small improvements. How can the song be worked on so that way it's a little bit more like extraordinary? Not that it's not extraordinary now, it's just like finding things that can be changed with the song that can make it the most enticing song possible. Yeah, there's been I actually don't know who the staging director is. It's a Sajiv Karpel. But I do know who wrote the song. It was Darko Dimitrov, who's actually written a lot of pretty popular songs for Eurovision. Like songs like Montenegro 2022, Breathe, or Loco Loco, or Proud, or Kruna, or Lost and Found, or all the way back to North Macedonia in 2006 with Ninanya. Hold on, I'm gonna mispronounce it. Ninanya. Okay, sorry to those in North Macedonia right now for my bad pronunciation. But yeah, so Darko Dimitrov has been there for a while and probably knows what makes a good winning formula at this point. I think it's also produced one of my winners. North Macedonia in 2019 was my number one song. I absolutely love Proud. It was one of the most powerful songs lyrically. And I think that it's kind of carried over into Georgia's song this year. It's definitely super, 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 super powerful lyricism, even if it is just pretty like pop lyrics. They carry a lot of weight to them, and I think that its deeper symbolic meaning is really important. So yeah, I think that combining all of Georgia's potential, whether it's from vocals to staging to dance to lyricism, I think it all is going to work very well, and I think that it's going to give Georgia its best results of the decade. I think of the decade, maybe. I don't know if they're going to get as far as 2015, but definitely better than the recent results, because Georgia does deserve better. They send some pretty quality songs and they don't get the best results. So hopefully that this year changes it. They have Armenia. They have a few other countries that could vote for them. So yeah, definitely good potential. And yeah, I think that it will perform 11th in the semi. It is in a good place. It's right between San Marino and Belgium. It's around Latvia. So yeah, it's kind of in an ideal spot, not too close to the end where it's too close to the Netherlands, but also not so far at the beginning that's kind of forgettable. It's kind of in that good position. So I think, again, just like Armenia, it's kind of put there for that ideal purpose. It's kind of going to serve as that the bop song in between like a rock and a not a sad ballad, but like a more power ballad in before the party's over. So yeah, I think that Georgia will probably come top six in the semi with televote, maybe fourth to sixth. And I think in the final, I think it's going to finish top 15. So I think it's going to give Georgia one of its best results, which honestly, Georgia does deserve better because they have songs that definitely are top 10 worthy. And hopefully this could be one of them. So yeah, massive congratulations to Nyutsa with the song Firefighter. And now it is time to move on to Azerbaijan, who have sent Farih and Ilkin Dovletov with the song Uzun Leapar. So that was a sample from Azerbaijan, who have sent Farih and Ilkin Dovletov with the song Uzun Leapar, which, okay, I'm gonna be completely honest. I don't like to write out songs from the beginning, but I just don't really like it that much. In my personal opinion, it's just not for me. I genuinely love songs that are sung in Azerbaijan, but it's just not my cup of tea, per se. Maybe it's because it's just, like, a little bit more on the monotone side. Like, it doesn't have, like, a lot of, like things that give, like, an extraordinary thing to it. I just don't think that this is going to be the thing that's going to make Azerbaijan qualify. I mean, there's nothing, like, bad about it. It's not anything, like, wrong, but it's just not anything spectacular. And I think that because semifinal one is already so tense with who's going to qualify, who's not going to qualify, I think that this is going to be the divider. I think that this is going to be the thing that's going to stop them from qualifying. It's just a little bit flat, and it's a little bit monotone in comparison to the other songs. However, what I will say is that they have been blessed with who they have where they're performing after. They're also performing next to the other most flat song out of the semifinal, from Moldova. I think that's a little bit of an interesting choice to put them right next to each other, especially considering they're both not very favorited songs. And then also to put them next to, like, Finland and Australia. So kind of, like, those four songs are just not the public's favorite right now. Doesn't mean that some of those songs aren't good. It just means that, like, it's an interesting choice why they grouped them all together. But yeah, I just think that Azerbaijan's kind of, like, not in the top 10 right now. I mean, it's not, like, a horrendous song. It's not, like the worst song I've ever heard. It's just not something that I would consider very much a qualifier. I mean, it's definitely a very nice ballad. Like, it's in Uzun Leapar, sorry for my very bad pronunciation, but it's called Take Me With You, and it's just like I guess like going together to paradise. So I guess that's just like a pretty nice message, but I feel like there's like, again, something deeper. But the chorus is in Azerbaijani, which is nice, but again, Azerbaijan, just send a full song in Azerbaijan. It would be really nice. Like, one of my favorite songs for Azerbaijan was Matahari, but even Matahari only had like some parts of it in Azerbaijani, like I think the beginning parts, or like the parts right before the chorus had Azerbaijani, but the rest of it was still in English. I don't know. I get English is a pretty popular language for Eurovision, but I love it when countries diversify their languages, and that's why I was so happy to see that, oh, Azerbaijan was sending an Azerbaijani song, and then only to look that, oh, it's only the chorus. Like, it's just a little bit, like, disappointing that every single year, some countries are just sending more and more and more just English songs, and I think that's just it's not very interesting at a certain point. Like, English is like a good language for songs, but it's great when countries take that opportunity to like use that, like, their beautiful languages to do more with songs. Like, we saw with Norway, they Ulvaham is sending a song in Norwegian for the first time in decades. And yeah, it's just great when countries take an opportunity to recognize, hey, we have a great language, why don't we put it into a song? I think that's something that I really hope is like gonna be a thing for more countries. I know some countries like France, Italy, they're like, okay, you absolutely have to send a song in French or another local language, or Italian, for Sanremo. But I think that those are just like a few examples, because so many countries, like Sweden, for example, they haven't sent a song in Swedish for over, I think, like 20 years now. It's really disappointing because it's not like there aren't songs available for that. Like if you look at Melido Festival, and there were the second place song was Que Sera by Medina, which was a song in Swedish, and it had a lot of potential to be a great song at Eurovision. So it's not like these songs in different languages don't exist. It's just a matter of saying, getting the confidence to say, hey, this is gonna do good, and we should send it. I think that should be something Azerbaijan looks at, sending a very ethnopop song that's in Azerbaijani. I think that would be a good target for them, because as much as I think that this could resonate with some people, it is right next to Moldova, and I think that this is going to group the songs together in a way that's not going to benefit either of them. And it's also very close to the other really strong ballad in the semifinal, which is Yolanda Grito, which will be on the final episode of this review series. But yeah, I just don't think that it's going to create the positive effect that Azerbaijan is looking for this year. Yeah, so I do think that Azerbaijan does have some potential to qualify, maybe if the staging is improved, maybe if Fadi has really great vocals live or something changes. But for now, I just don't think that this song is a potential like qualifier. I think my prediction is maybe 12th to 14th in the semifinal, but I always love to be proven wrong, and I love when I see my non-qualifiers end up qualifying, because it's always great to have like more songs and more people to have the chance to qualify to the final, because obviously that's a great goal to have in Eurovision. But yeah, congratulations to Fari, and what I always like to say is my mind will change. And I think for a lot of songs this year, they have started off in, oh, I'm not going to like this, but eventually, oh, I like this more. So I don't think I will ever write out a song completely. And even with Azerbaijan, I'm going to give it a few more listens. And maybe this isn't the point at where I'm going to like it the most, but maybe there will be a time when I actually do like it a lot more. And maybe my opinion will change. And I think that's the good thing about listening to music. You have so many opportunities to find new things, listen to it again and again, and maybe you find things that you really like about something. Maybe it isn't for you, but yeah, I think that a few more listens might change my mind. So yeah, congratulations to Fari, and now it is time to move on to the final song of today, which comes from good old Australia, who sent Electric Fields with the song One Mikali, One Blood. So that was a sample from Australia's song for Eurovision 2024, and they have sent the amazing Electric Fields with the song One Mikali, One Blood. And this is my hot take for today. This is absolutely amazing, and I just love it. Yeah, that's my hot take for today. It's just absolutely amazing. I love that this year Australia has chosen to use both English and Yankunya Tajiara. Very sorry if I mispronounced that, but it's an indigenous language from Australia. Absolutely beautiful, and I'm so proud that they sent Electric Fields. I remember watching their performance in 2019. But yeah, it's just gonna be a really exciting show with them. They're super great performers as well. I've seen a few live performances, and they are absolutely amazing. And I think that people are really sleeping on Australia this year. Definitely a song with a lot of potential. The lyrics are also really interesting as well. There's like the like references to Fleetwood Mac, yeah, it's like a really, it's just a really good techno song as well. You can even hear the didgeridoo there, in the chorus. So and I just love like the word Milkale as well. It's just a really like it's I think it reminds us of the power of like connectivity and how we're all connected together, like one blood. So I think that's just a really beautiful message. Honestly, I just don't know why people don't like people don't appreciate this more. Because there are songs that sound like kind of similar and they have a lot more support for them, but yeah, I've never gotten why this hasn't gotten the same amount of love, because it's absolutely amazing. Like, I think that it personally might do better than most people will, but I think that this song would be great live. I think that Australia is going to bring some amazing staging, because it's the Aussies, and they have, even just like on their talent shows or on all music programming, they tend to have really interesting staging choices. So I'm gonna be really excited for what they choose to send for Electric Fields, because last year Voyager did end up winning the semi, although they did only end up finishing I think eighth. Last year they did win the semifinal and they had great staging. Australia has been pretty consistent with their amazing acts. They've sent Voyager, they sent Sheldon Riley, they've sent Montaigne, who they were actually very robbed, but I wouldn't blame Australia for not qualifying that year. I think it's just because Montaigne, they weren't performing live, they were performing in Australia because COVID restrictions on flying to Europe. So I think that was the only reason why they non-qualified. But before that, you have Kate Miller-Hadke, you had Jessica Mauboy, you had Demi M. So many amazing artists that came out of Australia for Eurovision. Definitely so much talent. I think a lot of people make the argument that like, hey, why is Australia competing? But if you look at Australia's track record, it's easy to see that it's because they're good and they have a true passion for Eurovision. And if we allow other countries from outside of Europe to compete, why not allow Australia? I mean, they're sending amazing songs year after year with great artists to suit. So yeah, it's not like Australia is like coming every year and they're flopping and coming in last place. They're consistently making the final, consistently performing very well, doing amazing with both the juries and sometimes even the televote. Although unfortunately, because Australia doesn't really have any voting neighbors, they don't tend to get a lot of televote points. Especially that robbery in 2022 when Sheldon Riley only got like 3 televote points. That was an absolute robbery because the song was amazing. So yeah, hopefully that doesn't happen to Australia this year. And hopefully we can see a similar result to last year. I don't think that they're winning the semifinal just because of how competitive it is now with Croatia and Ukraine and all the other songs that could potentially challenge for that winning title. But I don't think that it's out of contention to qualify either. I think the song definitely could improve a lot with the staging, and because Electric Fields has an amazing vocal. One member singing. Yeah, I think it's just Zachariah singing, but it's not that. It's actually a really, really, really underrated song, and I think that they're going to be able to perform very well live. And with amazing staging, this could be something that kind of shakes up the game and could make Australia qualify this year. It is definitely being slept on, and it was given a pretty great running order. It's right after both Moldova and Azerbaijan, so people are going to be looking for something a little bit more upbeat, a little bit more exciting. Then it's right before Yolanda. So it's kind of that one song in between like Moldova, Azerbaijan, and Portugal that's going to be like, oh, it's out of this world. It's going to be super, super fun. It's going to engage everyone. And I think that's going to help Australia definitely qualify. It's closer to the end, so it's going to be a little bit more memorable. And Australia, they got it in the bag with staging. So I'm absolutely not going to be worried about them in terms of staging. In terms of qualification, I think that Australia's probably going to be around 7th to 10th. It is, again, a little bit more borderline just because of how competitive you got everyone from potentially the first half qualifying. And then you also have to, you only have three spots then. And then you also have to go against Slovenia, Finland, Luxembourg, Portugal. So yeah, it's going to be a difficult competition. But I think that if Australia is able to stage it well, and knowing how great performers like Electric Fields are, I think that this song does have potential to do pretty well. So I think it's going to be pretty borderline in the semi, and I think overall it's going to maybe finish top 20. I'm not going to like overshoot what I think the prediction is going to be, but I think that is a pretty safe prediction because the song is does have a lot of potential, and I think the studio is not going to be the only thing we're going to see from the song. I think it's going to be a lot more, and I think that's why people have to wait and see, because Australia is going to surprise us, and that's my hot take for now. Like, I think Australia is going to blow us away with something, so I just want people to wait and see, because this song could definitely change people's minds. With that, I'd like to say a big congratulations to Electric Fields with their amazing song, One Mikali, One Blood. And yeah, that does bring us to the end of today's episode. I truly hope you enjoyed listening. And if you want to see more amazing Eurovision content, head on over to @thedeucepoint on Instagram. That is @thedeucepoint. Can't wait to see you all back for the next and final episode of Is It a Hot Take for this Eurovision season. I can't believe it's already coming to an end, but don't worry, there will be some more episodes based on Eurovision coming up in the next few weeks. But stay tuned, and yeah, I can't wait to see you back for the next episode.